What is going on, everyone? Thank you for tuning in to this edition, which is episode 39 of the Locked On Yankees podcast. I'll be your host for this edition, Amari Brown. And if this is your first time chiming in and listening to an edition hosted by me, just a little background of who I am. Like I said, my name is Amari Brown, lifelong Yankees fan, currently Tampa Tarpon's beat writer and contributor at PinstripeProspects.com. If you ever want to hear a little bit more of my take on our beloved New York Yankees, you can listen to me talk a bunch of baseball and give you my views at the Empire Claps Back podcast, which is also Yankees focused. So, for this edition of Locked On, I'm sure everyone has now heard the news, and it is not good news, which has been a spring filled with a lot of great news when it comes to the New York Yankees. Greg Bird is going to have surgery to remove a bone spur from his surgically repaired right foot. And this is the same right foot that only allowed Greg Bird to have not many at-bats last year. I believe it was 170 at-bats over the course of only 48 games. So it's kind of a here we go again with Greg Bird, and it's just frustrating. You know, I'm not going to say that I'm upset. I'm just disappointed. You know, remember when your parents would hit you with that? That's just kind of where I am right now, because I can't really be mad at Greg Bird, because injuries are a part of the game. Now, injuries are becoming way too much a part of Greg Bird's game, and I think that that's going to have some lasting implications on how Brian Cashman and how the Yankees brass are going to move forward. Because if you look at it, Greg Bird has had issues going all the way back to when he was first drafted by the Yankees. You know, Greg Bird started out as a catcher, and he had back problems. They moved into third base. He had some issues. First base, you know, I mean, they've been freak injuries. You know, you look at the torn labrum that he had in 2016. Can't really account for that. You know, injuries happen. You know, guys tear, you know, receivers in football tear ACLs. You know, same injuries. It's just, you know, it comes with the territory. You look at the foot and the bone that he had to have removed last year. It was, again, it's just a part of the game. You know, he fouled a ball off his foot, tried to play through it. You know, you can't knock the guy for trying to tough it out and play through it. So, you know, and then it turns out there was actually something more than what the Yankees saw last year. It was actually misdiagnosed. So I don't even put that one on Greg Bird. But, you know, this is just going to keep that narrative going that Greg Bird is injury prone. And honestly, it's becoming really tough for someone like me who always supports Greg Bird, because I think that Greg Bird is going to be a stud. And obviously the Yankees do as well. But being available is an ability. And right now, Greg Bird's ability to be available is not great. You know, it's not great. And, you know, just to quote a famous Yankee, it's deja vu all over again, you know, RIP Yogi. But this is almost exactly where the Yankees were last year. Now, granted, we don't have to watch, or I don't even want to say watch, suffer through Chris Carter trying to, you know, convince us that he's a major leaguer for, you know, the better part of the first quarter of the season. This year, it seems like the Yankees were definitely prepared. Brian Cashman, definitely with the moves that he made, especially the moves that he made recently. You know, we'll touch on those in a little bit. He had a Greg Bird contingency plan from the time that pitchers and catchers reported, you know. And I think that Brian Cashman would have been, you know, that everybody would have came down on Cashman if he wasn't prepared, kind of like he wasn't last year, you know. So you're looking at, you know, what does the Greg Bird injury do presently? So presently, you know, when one door closes somewhere else, an opportunity opens for someone else. So welcome to the team, or welcome up north, Tyler Austin. And I think, you know, I see, you know, I'm going to see across social media platforms a lot of people clamoring for, you know, the Yankees to make a move and bring in a veteran. I don't think the Yankees need to do that. Because, one, we have Neil Walker, and Neil Walker is already mentally prepared, and he's he's already, you know, he's physically preparing to play first base anyway. So he's going to be playing first, second, and third. So now all we do is we slot Tyler Wade in at second base. We put Neil Walker at first base. We call up Tyler Austin. And I think that if you have a platoon, you know, situation of Neil Walker, who is a more, you know, it's more than an average major league player. I would say that he's a bit above average, especially from the left side of the plate. You look at his splits, and most of the damage that Neil Walker did last year was from the left side of the plate. And then, we know Tyler Austin, his biggest issue as well is durability. So I think that this plays into Tyler Austin's strength. He's going to be a power righty bat coming out the bench in late inning situations, and he can give Neil Walker a day off when there's a tough lefty on the mound. So I think when you combine the production of what a Neil Walker and what a Tyler Wade is going to give you, I think the Yankees are going to be fine. I'm going to go on a limb and say the Yankees are going to be more than fine. At minimum, the Yankees will get average first base production from that platoon. And I'm fully confident in saying that. Will I knock Brian Cashman if he wants to bring back Adam Lynn? No, I won't do that because Adam Lynn I thought was a great bat. And the way the roster is constructed, when Cashman first had Adam Lynn in, I thought that it was a great pickup as well. You know, he was just checking off, you know, he was just checking that off every box on every what if and planning for everything, which good GMs do. And I do believe that Cashman is one of the best GMs in the business. So you start to look at, like I said, the Lynn signing, Walker being, you know, getting the guaranteed deal, Lynn getting the minor league deal. Cashman already had in his mind, like, okay, Greg Bird can go down at any time, and I need to be prepared. So that's why I'm not too upset about it. Because usually if, you know, Greg Bird, you know, say what you want, you know, a lot of people throw projections out there saying that he's a 40 home run guy. You know, I kind of keep my expectations for Greg Bird to be a little bit modest. So I had him around, you know, the 28 to 31 home runs, driving in around 88 to possibly 102 RBIs. So if you take that production out of any lineup, you know, that would be devastating, you know. In this lineup, depending on where you want to peg him, Greg Bird could be anywhere from a 3 to a number 7 hitter, depending on the day. And, you know, he's a middle-of-the-order bat. Most teams, if you lose a middle-of-the-order bat, that's going to kind of deflate your momentum. And it's probably going to throw off, you know, at least the first 2 months of the season. Not with this team. So I'm not worried at all. Some guys are going to, you know, move up. Maybe Didi doesn't hit 6. Maybe he hits cleanup again just to break up the righties. Or, you know, you could do something a little bit differently. But honestly, I'm not too worried about it at all. For one, the platoon situation of what I mentioned before. And also, you start to look at this team and how versatile they are. They have 3 options, you know, right now on the major league roster that can fill in for Greg Bird adequately. You know, not as good as Greg Bird. You know, I don't think that Brandon Drury, Tyler Austin, or Neil Walker is going to have the impact bat that a healthy Greg Bird can have. But they can provide, you know, middling, you know, average production. And I think that we'd all be comfortable with that as long as, you know, we're not seeing what we saw out of Chris Carter last year. And that's just at the major league level. When you take a look down to AAA, the Yankees have Billy McKinney, who's a corner outfielder by trade, who's also taken some first base snaps in the Arizona Fall League and has played some time. Has spent time there in spring training as well, too. McKinney is a bat-first prospect, so the Yankees want him to be a little bit more versatile to increase his value to them and possibly in the trade market. So Billy McKinney's an option. Then we have 25-year-old AAA guy Mike Ford, who the Yankees lost in the Rule 5 draft. But recently, you know, he failed to take the job out there with Healy going down. So the Mariners had to return Mike Ford to the Yankees, and he was optioned to AAA Scranton. So Ford isn't even an option that the Yankees can run with for maybe a week or two at a time until they can figure out and, you know, get their bearings together and bring someone in if Bird, you know, if his recovery is going to take a little bit longer. Then a wild card you even have is Miguel Andujar. Now, Andujar, we all know that Andujar is another guy whose bat, I believe, is going to make him a star. I think I said this the last episode that I hosted. I think that Andujar's bat will make him a star easily. So with that, you just want to get the bat in the lineup. So Cashman brought over Brandon Drury. Drury is 25. So if the Yankees don't envision Andujar as being their everyday third baseman for the foreseeable future, maybe, you know, just to expedite his track to the majors, the Yankees switch him across the diamond and have him start playing first base maybe 1 to 2 times in AAA to, you know, just to kind of get familiar with the position for what's to come. So it's, like I said, I'm not upset. I'm not sad. I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed as a fan, and I'm disappointed for Greg Bird because mentally this has to start taking a toll on him. And I think that, you know, instead of, you know, bashing this guy, calling him Kevin Mass or calling him Nick Johnson 2.0, let's just try and rally around this kid and just give him the support that he needs. And I'm talking about Yankees fans and whoever that unnamed source was from the Yankees front office. I mean, do you guys honestly think that this guy who came up through the minors with Gary and Judge and Seve doesn't want to be out there when it's all coming together and the pictures, you know, all the pieces and the puzzles are finally starting to match? You guys don't think that he wants to, you know, be there and, you know, help dethrone the Red Sox after spending years in the minor leagues taking buses to towns in the South? I mean, come on, guys. You know, injuries happen. So, you know, let's just rally around him. You know, it's okay to be upset, but these things happen. You know, just, you know, and I want to get into, you know, the versatility that Cashman has created. This team, you know, it's in a lot of places. This team isn't just a 25-man roster. I think this team goes 35 deep. So if you look at a lot of other positions, first base, third base, corner outfield, center field, catcher, for the most part. I think catcher, you know, the catching depth is a little bit weak. But you look at all the other positions, the Yankees have contingency plans at almost every spot. So I'm really not worried. I think that this team was put together properly, and I think this team was put together masterfully. And, you know, I'm not that worried. I'm not that worried. And speaking of teams being put together masterfully and the versatility, if any advertisers out there would like to join this team, Team Locked On, we encourage you to do so. Send us an email at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. Once again, that was lockedonnyy@gmail.com. For anyone out there listening, if you would like to add and advertise and be a part of this team and have your product promoted to millions of Yankees fans that eventually will be listening to this podcast, we encourage you to do so. Once again, that was lockedonnyy@gmail.com. So, just to finish up with the injury updates, it wasn't all bad news for the Yankees. As Aaron Boone let us know today, that Jacoby Ellsbury will be remaining back with the team in Tampa to take, he's going to be doing some extended spring training work. Aaron Boone said that he needs anywhere from 40 to 50 at-bats to kind of, you know, acclimate himself and make sure that everything is going good. As some of you may know, Ellsbury had the oblique injury, and he came down, I want to say, with the flu. Well, let's just say an illness. I'm not really sure what he came down with, but he was not able to compete in the last 2 to 3 weeks of spring training games, so he's going to be a little bit behind. That's noteworthy because it's unfortunate for Ellsbury, but him being injured kind of helps the continuity of the roster, I feel. The Yankees don't need 5 outfielders. So I think that they're going to definitely take their time with Jacoby Ellsbury. Excuse me. Another positive on the injury side is that Clint Frazier was able to take batting practice, live batting practice, outdoor batting practice, which is a big thing, without any concussion symptoms. So now the Yankees, you know, it's going to be good for him. He's way behind, so he's definitely going to stay in extended spring training and work on some things and try and get his feet back under him. So it wasn't all bad news for the Yankees, and I think that, you know, those two coming back and those two being back in the fold, you know, bodes well. You know, you like to see everyone healthy. Jacoby Ellsbury, you know, I'm not really sure what his place is on the roster, but once he's ready, he'll be called back up. Clint Frazier, who a lot of fans are, I feel like Yankees universe is kind of, you know, split on Frazier. Some guys think that he's going to be amazing. Some guys think that he's overrated. Either way, I think that he's a solid player, so he needs to get back into the fold. Well, first off, he needs to make sure that he's okay. You know, we have to make sure he's right. You know, we care about his health first. But then he can start working on, you know, working on his game in AAA and getting better and waiting for his turn, his turn to get the call. So aside from the injuries, I think everyone is pretty much ready to go. From the players up to management. And the Yankees open the season this Thursday in Toronto. So we're going to actually see. We actually might have Tyler Wade as the opening day first baseman because Jay Happ is going to be pitching for the Blue Jays. So I think this is the lineup that we're going to run with, guys. I don't see any other big moves coming because, like I said, the Yankees have three internal replacements on the roster right now. And before they even think to go outside of the organization, they're going to explore every option that they do have within the organization. So, you know, I'm not telling everyone how to root for your team because, you know, how you choose to root for your team is, you know, that's at your discretion. All I'm saying is while it's unfortunate that Greg Bird will be missing 2 weeks, either way, you can look at it this way. He got, you know, we'll get the surgery out of the way because remember he tried to rehab it first and it was misdiagnosed. At least now we know that he's going to have bone spurs removed. It's going to be 6 to 8 weeks. And then when he comes back, you know what? He'll be a little bit fresher for the playoff run. We won't have to worry about Greg Bird wearing down in the playoffs because that's where it counts. I honestly don't care about, I can't say I don't care because seasons can be lost in April and May. But I think the way that this team is built, I don't think that, you know, missing Greg Bird is gonna hinder them at all. And honestly, if your team loses, if one guy goes down, unless you know it's, you know, Trout with the Angels or, you know, maybe even Bryce Harper, even then, if your team can't get over one injury, then your team doesn't deserve to have, you know, World Series aspirations anyway. So I think that we need to focus on what we can control, and what we can control is, well, what the Yankees can control is everyone stepping up and doing their job, not trying to do too much. Everyone do your job, and the Yankees will be fine. So I hope you guys enjoyed this update for the Greg Bird injury. I hope that I was able to give Yankees fans a little bit of confidence, and hopefully, you know, you guys, you know, send Greg Bird some well wishes. Let's not bash him. Let's do the complete opposite. Let's fill his world with positivity so he can come back soon and, you know, finish out strong and help the Yankees do what we all think that they're capable of doing, and that's winning a championship. So, thank you for listening, guys. We all really appreciate everyone that listens. This was episode 39 of Locked On Yankees, and I'm your host, Amari Brown. I'll catch you guys next time. Thank you.